How's everybody doing? Good. I'm going to be probably a slightly less formal speaker as opposed to preacher, I suppose. Obviously, talking out the Bible is the main thing, so I always want to sort of start with that, but which I will do in a second. But I'm going to ask everyone a question to start off with. When I say the word worship, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? Now, I don't want any clever clogs, literally the first word that pops up in your head. Someone stick their hand up and give me an answer. Go on, John. God. It's a brilliant one, that one. Anyone else? Praise. Yeah, definitely. Love. Brilliant. Oh, there's a few good answers there. I mean, typically when the first thing anyone ever thinks of with worship is music. Yeah, exactly. So, but I kind of want to redefine that initial thought really today. So I had a quick look in, at the dictionary definition of what worship is. So I've got a couple of them, but the first one I found was that the worship is the feeling or expression of reverence, which I thought was interesting. As to what reverence meant, I wasn't really sure. So I Googled that one as well. And that came up as deep respect for someone or something. So essentially, the dictionary definition of worship is the feeling or expression of deep respect for someone or something. So there's a massive thing to worship. It's not just music. There's a whole huge thing to it. So I'm going to talk to you a bit about that today. The second definition I found, which I thought actually was really, really good, it comes from, I can't remember the name of the dictionary, but it's one for the 1800s. And it's obviously been rewritten in slightly more modern language. But it's to honour with extravagant love and extreme submission, which I think is perfect for today's church setting of how we should worship. So obviously today I'm talking about worship to you. Can everyone hear me okay? And I'm not talking too fast, am I? Get a bit nervous when I come up at the front and I can jabber on like a, yeah. So obviously I'm not talking just about music. So those of you who don't play music, aren't too keen on singing, don't switch off because there's a lot more to it than that. Pete, I've got that, audio. It's basically Psalm 96, which I found was a really, really good way of how the Bible says we should worship. So Pete's going to play the audio for me. It's a guy from a Vertical Church band that I found on YouTube, and they obviously did it mid-worship set. He just reads it out, and then they go into a song, which we're going to cut before it gets to that. But I'm going to get Pete to put the words up on the screen as well, so if you could hit go on that.
Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord and bless his name. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him, strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. So ascribe to the Lord, O families of the people. Into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns! Yes! His world is established, it will not be moved, and he will judge the peoples with equity. So let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all that fills it, and the field exult and everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes. For he comes. For he comes. us to judge the world with righteousness and all the peoples with his faithfulness. Yes, Lord, you are faithful, Jesus.
So what's that for a definition of worship? Anyone else agree that that's a heck of a lot better than anything that the dictionaries can come up with? I think, yeah, just when I was looking through about what to do for this preach, that one really spoke to me. And particularly the guy, the way he says it, I don't know, it just gives a lot of emphasis behind it. So I really enjoyed that. I've got kind of three main points that I'm going to talk from today. It was actually my father-in-law that was joking around the other week, talking about different preachers and how they preach. I think it's, is it Jan? He's John jokingly called a 10-point preacher. He always preached from 10 points. Unfortunately, I can struggle to count after about three, so I'm going for three. hopefully these will sort of mean something to you. So obviously I kind of touched on it already, but everything we do can be worship. It's not just music. There's an awful lot more to it than that. If you could go back, Pete, to 11 on the slide. So it starts talking here. So let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad, let the sea resound and all that's in it. Next one, please. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Let all the trees of the forest sing for joy. And the last one. Let all creation rejoice before the Lord, for he comes. He comes to judge. Yeah, that's kind of where I was stopping on that. But not all of those things make music. Yeah, they'll make noise and do things, but they all worship God in doing what they're doing. So obviously the fields grow because of God's made them to grow. Go back again, sorry, Pete. I'm forgetting now. Getting nervous. So the next one, yeah. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. The trees of the forest. I mean, I don't know if anyone's ever had a good walk through a forest or an arboretum, somewhere like that, and all the various different forests and trees and things. We were at Bodnant Gardens the other week, and there's some massive, massive trees there. And something amazing about the trees growing, the way they shoot straight up, straight to God. I don't know, it just speaks to me when I think about that sort of thing. And then obviously the next one, what was that? All creation, so everything in creation rejoices for God. There's another bit in the Bible where it says, obviously, the rocks will cry out if we don't. I don't know, that always gives me funny images of rocks with mouths on shouting things. But I always think that's amazing. If we weren't to worship God, then the earth itself would do. It does anyway. Looking at all the flowers and things that are coming up at the minute, me with being a gardener, I'm noticing it more now than anything. All these flowers that are coming up with these beautiful colours and an array of everything, really. And it's just it's amazing. It's all just there screaming out because it's God created it to do that, and it's doing that. I've got down on here that there's sort of seven ways to worship through the Bible that we as people can do. There's a lot more of them, but these are kind of the seven that I picked out, and they're quite broad spectrum. The first one I've got is praise and thanksgiving. Now, I've not put that as songs. The first bit I've got on that is prayer. I'm going to use you, Benga. Every week, Benga, without fail, will come up with some amazing prayer that he'll say mid-worship, and it always touches my heart. So I want to say thank you to that. Because that, I don't know, it's just an amazing way of worshipping that. And it's, very, very, very strong. And it's not really anything to do, well, partly to do with the music, but it's not the music itself. Obviously prayer is a great thing. And saying thank you in general, something else that obviously, another way that you can do that is talking to people and saying, look at what God's done for me. I know John was sharing last week about Albania and his experience out of there. Your sharing with us was a way of worshiping. You were worshiping God, saying, look at what these people are doing. Look at what we're doing out there. And it's amazing. So thank you as well for that. That was kind of backed up in Ephesians 5:20, if I can get that up on the screen, Pete. I've got all this on my phone, but it takes forever for me to jiggle it around. There we go. Always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, which, I think is really poignant, really. So the next bit I got is the kind of joyful songs, which is obviously what everyone expects when you think of worship. Psalm 100 says about singing a joyful song to the Lord. So, obviously we do that every week. Joyful and sometimes a little bit more mellow, but they're always saying thank you to God for being who he is and praising and honouring him for who he is. Another one that comes up quite often in the Bible, unfortunately it's one that's a little bit of a sore subject in our household, is dancing. Georgia loves to dance, but I tend to say I've got four left feet, not just two, I've got four. I'm an awful dancer and I can't do it, so I'll brush over that one quite quickly. My fourth one, which comes up quite regularly in the Bible, is observing feast days. Which that's one I'm very pleased to share with you. I love a good feast, particularly. Well, I really enjoyed the Nigerian food that you guys did when we had the dedications the other week. So yes, that was really good. And this is one that Jesus himself did quite regularly with the Passover feasts. Obviously, praising God for the fact that obviously his power had passed over them and saved their it was the firstborns, wasn't it? Yes. So that's always another way that we can do it is observing those feast days and celebrating as a group with a bit of food, obviously, always nice, to celebrate what God's done for us. And then there's kind of the last three I've got were a little bit less that you'd think of initially, but ones that we can do on a daily basis. So the first I've got is cheerful help is what I've put down on here. There was two bits in Corinthians which I thought worked quite well. One of which is obviously the one that everyone thinks of. But I've also put down 2 Corinthians 8, 1 to 2 on here. Sorry, Pete, I'm getting you to do loads. And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Sorry. In the midst of very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. If you could do the next couple as well. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people. I mean, isn't that just amazing? The fact that they've not got much at this point at all, but everything they did have, they've shared completely. This was really sort of spoke to me quite a long time ago when I lived back in the south. We went on a trip out to Ziguinchor, Senegal. My church out in Chippenham had set up what they call a Talibé project, which is effectively the orphaned young children got sent to live with these Muslim teachers, and they were treated awfully, sent out begging, and they were, if they didn't get the money, they wouldn't get fed, very, very poor healthcare, regularly getting beaten. So they set up this project that fed them. But while we were out there, we were told to have a spoon on a lanyard around our necks everywhere we went, because every single family that we went and spoke to, you could tell they didn't have everything, but they were all doing us a meal. They were putting what they had on the table to share with us because they were so grateful for what we were doing in their country. They wanted to give us something back. It's just really, really spoke to me when I went out there and did that. And I think that's something that we can really, as a congregation, as a group of people in our daily lives, really work on, is going the extra mile, doing the extra thing, even if it's going to cost us a bit at the end of the day. What does it matter? We're worshiping God, and that's what we're here to do. Yes. The next thing I've got is using sort of spiritual and God-given gifts. If we're gifted with the tongues, if we're gifted with the ability to heal people, to prophesy, there's loads of them. I can't bring them all to my mind at the minute. But also, the talents I can play bass guitar, John sings and plays his guitar, Benga with his prayer, all sorts of different things. If we've got the tiniest little bit of a talent in anything or an interest in anything, we can use that as a way of worshipping God. I did a worship course when I first came up to YFC, and the guy made a bit of a joke really, but said, you can worship God by making a cup of tea. If you make that cup of tea and praise God for the fact that you can make that cup of tea, then it's worshipping God. You're saying, thank you for this. I really enjoyed this brew. It was really, really good. It's just yeah, blew my mind when he said that to me. So I thought I'd share that with everyone. And the last one I've got is being a living sacrifice. If you get Romans 12, Pete, from the beginning, it says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. That basically says to me straight away there that that is what God wants us to do. It doesn't matter if we sing him songs, if it doesn't matter if we're, well, obviously, yeah, you know what I'm getting. Ultimately, the true and proper worship is being a living sacrifice, and everything comes out of doing that. So if we're being a living sacrifice to God, we're going to want to praise, we're going to want to pray, we're going to want to speak to people, we're going to want to do all of those other things, because God is going to be our ultimate goal, and that then we know that our heart is in the right place. So going on from those things, the next kind of point I had was to do what we do well. Now, I'm not saying with this that you have to strive to be the best. What I'm saying with this is that if God's given us something that we can do, we need to do that to the best of our abilities. So, unfortunately, that does mean that with the dancing thing, I have to at least have a bit of a go at that. And I like to think I have done occasionally at my wedding and at Mike and Jess's wedding. That's twice, so I'm going to go with that. Everything we do, we need to do as well as we can. God wants us to be the best that we can be. The one bit I got for that was the parable of talents is essentially the ultimate kind of thing in the Bible where Jesus is talking about that, conveniently called the parable of talents. Obviously, that was the name of the coins, but it works very well in the English as well because it's using our talents. We need to essentially, if we hide them under a bush and don't do anything with them, then there's not going to be any fruit from that. If we go out and we use those talents and work on them and do the best that we can with those talents, then God's going to use them massively. Whether that is your music, if it's you going into town and helping people out, if whatever's God's given you, if we work on that as best as we can, then it's going to do something amazing. Yes, so I didn't want to go on that one too much. And then I've got my last of my 3 points here. I'm not sure what I'm doing time-wise. I'm going through this quite quick, aren't I? This is kind of the main thing. It's very, very easy to go from wanting to do things well into that being the focus, doing it well, not worshipping God with it. I know that I'm one for having a million different hobbies. I'm trying to count how many it is I've got at the minute. Georgia will tell you. Forever having different hobbies. Whether it's, what was my most recent one? The beer making. I'm obviously very keen on bikes. Anyone who knows me, I've got about 10 of them at the minute in a workshop full of tools and all sorts. And at any moment I can, I tinkering with them or riding them or talking about them, or yeah, Georgia gets a bit annoyed with bikes. Although we were around at John and Christine's last night watching the Olympics. It turned into a bit of an Olympics party, didn't it, which was good. And had the cycling on, and I do want another bike now. I want to get into the track cycling as well, so I'll have to work that one in somehow. Yeah, I mean, the other thing obviously that's very, very that you see a lot in the world at the minute is, it's a bit of a cliche one that preachers will always talk about when they're talking about worshipping the right thing, but football. You see these people at football games and their hands up in the air, shouting, cheering, they flock in there, tens of thousands to these pitches to go and see 22 men kick a sack of air around. If you can't tell, I've never been that keen on football. It was a bit funny, obviously, at school. As a kid, not really supporting a team. I mean, maybe the ladies don't quite get that to the same extent as the gents will do, but when a lad asks you, what football team do you support? And you go, I don't really support one. You get dodgy looks and, yeah, and all sorts. One day we were on holiday on the south coast, sort of Suffolk, Norfolk way. I must have been about so big, 7 or 8. We were making a den with the folding deck chairs, metal ones, sliding it along the floor, thinking I was being really clever, and it snapped shut on my fingers. So I've got a bent bone in the end of this finger and loads of scars in my thumb. So we cut the holiday short on the first day. We had to go to Ipswich for the hospital at Ipswich. And from that day, because they stitched my fingers up, I said I'll always support Ipswich Town if ever anyone ever asked me. So, so we're officially a tractor boy, I think that's what they call him. So that's always an interesting one when people ask me why I support Ipswich. I don't know how they do win. Not very well, I'd imagine, but... But yes, worshipping the right thing. Jesus, in the Bible, in John 4, 5 to 26, there's a big section where Jesus is talking to a Samaritan woman at the well. I think we should know that passage fairly well. But if you want to get it up, Pete, sorry. Oh, hey, brilliant. I'll read this out. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town by this point to go and buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman says, "you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well we drink and drank from it himself, as he did his sons and livestock?" Jesus answered, "Anyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will be in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." That was kind of the bit that I was mainly focusing on here, really, was anything we worship, anything football, whether it's bikes. I mean, I put down on here as well, I've put Georgia down. At the end of the day, she's my wife and I want to spend time with her. But sometimes that can get in the way of me wanting to spend time with God as well. I mean, I'm talking from this as a person who struggles with this myself. I'm not trying to say I'm better than thou or anything. But at the end of the day, anything like that, it's not going to quench our thirst. We're always going to be thirsty if we're just striving after the human things. If we're worshipping God, then that's the only thing that's truly going to quench our thirst. And that's the only place that we're really going to find sort of a spiritual home, that thing that we need to top us up. And I mean, it's very, very cliche, but you think about obviously topping yourself up. You want to be there in worship with your arms in the air in the music, but that's not the only thing. As I was saying before, there's a heck of a lot more to it than just that. Conscious that obviously there was, I can't remember what they called it, but there was a thing a couple of years back where it's sort of talking about paying for the person behind you in the toll road and things like that. Do you remember there was a big thing going around where it was, it's gone off the top of my head now, but it was sort of like a do a nice thing a day sort of thing. Essentially that's a cracking way of worshipping. If you try and do one thing a day to help someone out in need, or maybe not even in need, it's a form of witness, which is worshipping. You're being a Christian in the real world, which is essentially what this is all about. That's kind of where I was up to, really, with my preach. So I kind of just wanted to sum up for you, really, that obviously worship isn't just music. Yes, it's a huge, huge part of it, because that's how we as people express very, very easily any of our emotions, our feelings. And it is a great, great tool for us to worship God. So I'm not saying not to do it, because we use it in such a great way. But don't let that be the only way that we worship God. If that means that, yeah, you're a preacher, you're going into the town and talking to people. I know that Adrian did his little guitar thing in town. That's, I don't know whether you're playing Christian music or what, but that's a form of witness as well. I mean, yes, it's back to music again, but it's going out there and doing it in your lives, in your colleges, schools, workplaces, your volunteer work, if that's what you're doing. Going out and doing those things, being God in the world, is the best form of worship that we can possibly do. So we've put on here, everything we do can be worship. So remember that. If you're next time you're making a cup of tea, think, or your coffee, if that's what you prefer, think, yes, I'm going to worship God by making this because I'm going to really enjoy it and God's made it for me. Do it well. Anything we do, if we put our 100% into it, even if it turns out to be naff, it doesn't matter. God knows that we've put our 100% into it, and that's essentially what God calls us to do. And do it right. Worship the right thing. Don't go over the top and get stuck into, I need to do this best, I need to do this best, I need to buy that thing to do this best. Just do it right. Worship God with what you're doing, and He'll really reward that.